for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, December the 27th, 2003. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jerry McGee of Lindale, Texas, is the teacher. Those of you who don't know Jerry McGee, she's been here several times, and she has a ministry down in Lindale, Texas, down by Longview. And she travels and holds seminars, and we're just happy to help propagate the ministry that the Lord's given to her.
Bless you, Lord. Something else, a refuge. The Bible says, when my ways please the Lord, it makes even my enemies, the demons, to be at peace with me. So if I'm not peace in an area, it's just God trying to reveal to me there's an area he's not pleased with. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning and we ask you to give ears to hear. We ask that you deliver each of your children from fear, that you show them the idol behind the fear. Lord, in Jesus' name, you said, fear not and be not dismayed. And I pray that every person that goes forth from this place this morning, Lord, will fear not and be not dismayed. You said you're our God. You'll strengthen us and uphold us with your righteous right arm in Jesus' name. You know, every fear in your life has to be dealt with if you're going to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Did you know that? You know, we excuse fear as that's just the way we are. No, if God has not given me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind, Satan has. Fear is faith in what the devil tells you versus faith in what God would tell you. Fear is just the opposite of faith. Fear, like faith, demands a response. You operate in fear, and Job, like Job said, what I fear comes upon me, and what I dreaded befell me. In Ezekiel 11:8, it says, you feared a sword, and I'll bring a sword upon you. Isaiah 66:1-4 says, I'll bring on you what you dread, which is fear. Fear entered the human race when Adam and Eve sinned, right? It says that Adam and Eve were naked, unashamed, and they were not in fear until they sinned. And that's when fear entered the human race, right there in the Garden of Eden. Fear will destroy your immune system. You know, your body's made where if you're in a frightful situation or you're in a stressful situation, your body is made, and Dr. Null can tell you more about medical things. I know very little. But your body is made in such a way that if you live in fear and anxiety and stress, your body's made in such a way that if you're in a stressful situation, your body pours in hormones and adrenaline and cortisol and neurotransmitters and all kinds of stuff to help you cope in that stressful situation. But if every day you live in fear, anxiety, and stress, your body will produce these things produced in your body every day will destroy your immune system. Cortisol is a good thing in a stressful situation, but if you live in a fight-flight situation continually, then cortisol will destroy your immune system, and that's one of the roots to autoimmune diseases. You see, here he'll keep me in perfect peace when my heart is stayed upon him. When I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, I will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge. I'll not be afraid of the snare of the enemy or the arrow that flies by day. You see, out here the arrows fly. Out here is the realm of distress and fear. Another word for distress just means stress. And go to Isaiah, please, chapter 5. God tells us we're to bear fruit. In Matthew 21, he tells the Jews, Jesus told the Jews, he said, I'm going to take salvation away from you and give it to a nation producing the fruit of it. In John 15, he says, bear fruit and so prove to be my disciples. In John 15, he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you that you might go and bear fruit. Galatians 5:22 tells you what the fruit of the Spirit is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we don't produce fruit, God removes the hedge in areas. Okay, go to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill, and he dug all around it, removed its stones, and planted it with the choice vine. In Luke 13, 5 through 9, there's a story of a man who sees no fruit on a fig tree. And the vineyard keeper says, well, Lord, don't. And so the man said, cut it down. And he said, well, Lord, no, let me dig around it. Let me put in fertilizer. And then if it doesn't produce fruit next year, then cut it down. And so this was, just put Luke 13 there, because you can read the same thing in Luke 13, 5 through 9. And he dug it all around and removed its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done in it? In other words, I suffered and died for it. And you're the vineyard of the Lord, the garden of the Lord. He said, I suffered and died for it. First Peter says he's given you everything pertaining to life and godliness, everything you need to walk in victory. It says, why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, this doesn't sound like it's working again. When I expected it to produce good grapes, it produced only worthless ones. So now let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I'll remove its hedge and it will become consumed. I will break down its wall and it will become trampled ground. And I will lay it waste and it will not be pruned nor hoed. But briars and thorns will come up. Now in John 15 he says if you produce fruit, he's going to prune you, right? It says every branch in me that produces fruit, I prune so that it can bear more fruit. But here when he removes the hedge, you don't get pruned or hoed. The rain, he says, I'll charge the rain to rain on it no more, no Holy Spirit. In Acts it says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. It says, but briars and thorns will come up, and I'll also charge the clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plants. Thus he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold a cry of distress. You see, every place we're being attacked and we're living in fear, we're in distress. And it says, behold a cry of distress. Now that's a picture of Psalms 91. Now this is a picture of Psalms 91. Psalms 1 says your trees, right? It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor sit in the seat of scorners, or stand in the place of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And day and night he meditates on the word of God, and it says he'll be like a tree. Living Bible says, planted along a riverbank, always bearing luscious fruit each season without fail. Your leaf will never wither, and everything you do will prosper. This is a picture of Psalms 91. Well, when God removes the hedge, guess what? The powers of darkness have the legal right to get me. The whole book of Nehemiah is talking about the wall of Jerusalem needing to be broken, that is broken down. And deliverance is rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. We all have breaches in our heart, every last one of us. And you know, I can tell you right now, Jesus is Lord of my life. There's not one area I'm not walking in obedience to him that I know of. I mean, with all my heart, I'm submitted to him. But you know what? He sees many, many holes that he's not shown me yet. And he'll put his finger on something else, and I'm saying, when he puts his finger on it, I get hit. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? I repent, get back under here. And see, that's the sanctification process. The Bible says, without sanctification, no man will see God. Proverbs 17:11 says that a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. So you see, you don't have a demon problem, you've got a God problem. The minute you step out from under God's hedge or his umbrella, you're a target. God says in Psalms 41, I know the Lord is pleased with me when my enemy is not shut triumph over me. And you know what? I told people this. You don't have to be afraid of anything but your sin. My mother told me one day, she said, Jerry, you need to lose weight. I said, yes, Mother, I know. She said, I bet your cholesterol is, I don't know how high. I said, Mom, I'm really not interested in how big my cholesterol count is. I'm only concerned about my sin count. That's what you need to worry about. If you're living in fear, you need to get your heart right with God. Fear is a sin, but we justify it that it's okay to be afraid because that's just how we are. God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. The scripture says in Psalms 38:18, I'm full of anxiety, which is concern and fear, because of my sin. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart weighs it down. There's depression. You see, the root of depression is sin. Some years ago, I went to a healing school, and there was a whole part of it that was psychological. And I can tell you, I had to spit out 99.9% of it because it was just, they said, you know, for a depressed person, you pull the shades and you don't talk to them and you keep it dark. You know, demons love darkness. Years ago, there was this girl that was always depressed, and I'd go over her house and I'd open the shades up. And I'd come back a week later and she'd have the shades down. I said, pull those shades up and let the sun shine in. Now today, 12 years later, she's delivered. Guess what? Her shades are, the sun's coming in. But we dealt with the idols and the demons behind the fear and behind the depression. Ezekiel 12:19 says that you're going to eat bread with anxiety and drink water. Because the land has been stripped of its fullness on account of the violence or the wrong of all those who live in it. So because of wrong and violence that's done to this land, you know, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says you're a building, you're a house, and you're a field. Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 says that you're soil, and this is the land. There's a world's land, there's a church land, and this is your land. This is the land you have to possess. The children of Israel had a physical land to possess, but you have a spiritual land to possess. And there's giants in your land, and those giants are making you afraid, and so God wants us to overcome. The promises of God are to the overcomer. You say, well, you know what, if I just didn't have this problem, I'd be happy. You know what, if you didn't have the problem, it's God's way of showing you there's an area he wants to sanctify. You see? If you didn't have a problem, you'd just keep your demons and think everything's wonderful. Not true. Pain is a good thing. If I cut my finger off and it doesn't hurt and it doesn't bleed, I just cut it off. So when you experience pain in your life, God is trying to say, hey, there's something I'm wanting to heal. Thank God he doesn't show us everything at once. We couldn't stand it. I mean, giving up one idol's enough, right, at a time. When God took my caffeine away from me this past year, that was the hardest 8 weeks of my life, and I had to teach 8 seminars, Friday through Sunday, without caffeine. God said, Jerry, it's not going to be by your might or by your power or by caffeine. It's going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? And I'm not trying to take your caffeine away, okay? But I can tell you that was not an easy thing to do. And I don't ever want to get addicted to that again because it was too hard to, I don't want to have to go through the process of what I had to go through to get healed. And go to Psalms 91, please. So distress comes, and another word for stress is fear. Distress means stress. A lot of times you go to the doctor and Dr. Null will tell you, they say, well, we can't find anything wrong with you. It's just stress-related. Well, guess what stress is? Fear. Just means there's a place I'm out here and not here. The good news is, hey, he wants me to get from here to here, and he's going to show me how to get there. Remember Jesus said he didn't judge. It was the Word that judged. We're walking in the Word right here, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. We step out of the Word, and guess what? We step into sin, out of the Word, and we step into a different realm. It's dangerous out here. Isaiah 25 says when we're in God's refuge, the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. I noticed that my overhead from last time was here, right where I left it. I mean, excuse the artistic work, but anyway, when I'm in God's refuge, it's like Satan attacks me out here. I can make refuges out of all, just thousands of different things, but there's only one of God's refuge. And when I'm out in this territory, I'm getting hit in these areas. But it says in Isaiah 25 that the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. Have you ever been in a house when it's raining and you can hear the rain hit the wall? You stay in there and you're dry and safe? God says when you're in God's refuge, nothing can get you there. But you say, well, I've been being God. Hey, He wants to rescue you. Don't panic. And you know what? He's not going to. Some of you have got so much stuff that you just think it's hopeless. It's not hopeless. Take the first thing He shows you and walk in it. Walk in obedience. And God will heal your life. I know people that have been in worse shape than most of you. I know a particular person that every horrendous thing that could ever be done to a human being has been done to her. And she's not a person that's a fake. She doesn't like attention. She don't want you talking about her. You know, a lot of times people just want attention because mom and dad didn't give them attention. But this girl has had every imaginable thing that ever happened to her. And I can tell you, she's become a mighty woman of God. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It's like peeling an onion. Doesn't mean God's mad at you. It just means that He wants to heal you in whatever area you're being attacked. And, you know, and I can tell you in marriages or in a home, whatever you can't stand about your wife, can I tell you it was something you couldn't stand about your mom and dad? You'll either become like who you judge or you'll marry somebody like who you judge. So that's why I'm staying single. No, I'm just teasing. No, I'm just teasing. Because when you're pushing each other's button and your parade's getting rained on and you got a touchy area, it's an area that was unresolved in childhood, which really is the root of anger, it's the root of fear, it's the root of depression. Because as little children, when you go to bed frustrated or angry or fearful or worried or grieved, those are all things you need to forgive mom and dad for. Little children shouldn't ever have to worry about anything when they go to bed at night. But as little children, we don't know we can go to God, so we turn to a promise we make ourselves. When we grow up, life's going to be different. When I grow up, I'm going to find somebody that loves me. When I grow up, I'm going to find somebody that won't ignore me. When I grow up, I'm going to find somebody that will listen to me. And you see, because I didn't go to God with it, I turned to that promise, became the false God I trusted in. And behind every false God is fear. Wherever you made a vow, a promise, that you promised yourself something, it's an idol. And so God doesn't want us to make vows because a vow works like a train track. You make a vow and you have to go the way of the vow until you break it. And then you marry somebody you think is the love of your life. And when the honeymoon's over, all of a sudden you're saying, you tricked me. How do I know? No, experience, no. And so if you can see, those of you who are married, if you can see the thing you can't stand about your mate probably is the same thing you couldn't stand about mom and dad. 99% of the time, that's about right. So if you can learn to go in your prayer closet, no use trying to talk to your mate about it, go in the prayer closet and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? It's not the mother, it's not the father, it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. And deal with it, and God will deliver you. Okay, Psalms 91. But fear will destroy your immune system. Let's just see some, go back to Psalms 91. It says, I'll say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. You see, the pestilence also stalks out here. The pestilence stalks in darkness. And when this is walking in the light as He's in the light. My son had a message the other day about Jesus being the light of the world, and when He wants to shine His light into all the darkness of your heart to expose all the darkness. And the way He does it is He allows you to have a problem, and then if you go to God with that problem, He'll show you, you'll get understanding of why you have the problem. It says in Proverbs 15:32, if you receive His discipline, you'll acquire understanding. Understanding is the truth that sets you free, and He loves to tell you what your problem is. Okay, it says, and He'll cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you'll seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Do you know a mother hen, during a storm, she fluffs out her wings, and baby chicks run under her wings. She doesn't run and jump on top of the baby chicks. And so you've got to run under God's refuge. Proverbs says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. It's a safe place. If you don't feel safe, it's because you're out here and not under God's refuge. Okay, you'll not be afraid of the terror by night. You say, well, I've been terrified. God says you'll not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. So he's saying there's things you'll not fear. You don't have to worry about the terrorist, the terror by night. You don't have to worry about the pestilence that stalks in darkness. Number three, the destruction that lays waste at noon, or the arrow that flies by day. You see, the arrows fly out here. There's no arrow can get to you here. Okay? In verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You'll only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Now, why will I just look on with my eyes and not have to worry about the arrows or the terror by day or the destruction? Why? Because I have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High our dwelling place. Ezekiel talks about all the dwelling places of sin. In Ezekiel 37, when he's talking about, speak to these dry bones and say, oh, dry bones live. Speak to the breath and say, oh, breath, come and breathe on these that are slain. And then it says, I prophesy that I'll deliver you out of the graves where you've been buried. And then it goes on to say, I'm going to make you one stick, one nation, one king, and I'm going to deliver you out of all of your dwelling places of sin. That's all of the things that you have made a refuge out of. Your dwelling places of sin. All of these are dwelling places of sin. All these places you've been swallowed up by the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. When you're outside of God's refuge, you get swallowed up by the enemy. But when you're here, you get swallowed up in his life. There was such a presence of God here earlier. The worship was awesome. Okay, it says, because I have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, and you will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because you make the Lord your refuge. Can I tell you, you've been attacked? Can I tell you today that repentance in a lot of places is not taught? They teach you to pray a prayer and you get your ticket punched and you can commit adultery and do whatever else. No, you can't. No adulterer, liar, fornicator, thief, murderer, effeminate, homosexual will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've been a lot of those things, but we need to work out of those things. And that's not to condemn anybody that's got those things, but hey, it's a lie that we can just pray a little prayer and that's it. No, that's not true. God is coming for a holy people for his possession, and he's saving a remnant out of this big conglomerate of people that call themselves Christians. He's coming for a holy bride, not Fredericks of Hollywood. And the church, and you know what? The church has got some cleaning up to do. And that's why sometimes when you have a meeting like this, when there's such a powerful word that goes forth here from Lake Hamilton, that this place ought to be running over with people. But if you had a place full of all this flaky stuff where it's just all this stuff going on, so much stuff, I mean, they'd be hanging off the rafters. Because people don't want to deal with their flesh. We want to live after it, but God says if we live after our flesh, we'll die, and that's what brings fear on our life. The more you repent, the less fear you're going to have. And so you don't have to worry about the demons getting you. You have to worry about laying aside the sin that so easily entangles you. Quit doing it. And we all have to die to the flesh. Every one of us have areas that we have to die to. I had to die because it says don't eat in these rooms. And wherever I go, I like to take a little ice chest, and I like to take fruit and my little blender and all this kind of stuff. And my coffee, my decaffeinated coffee. But Glenn said, don't do it. So I had to choose not to do it, and that's die your flesh. You cannot do what you want to do. You've got to do what God wants you to do. God wants us to submit to authority. If you want to live in rebellion, guess what? The price is you're a target. So God tells us if we want to live in peace, we have to keep our mind stayed upon him, not our idol, not our the things that we make a refuge out of, sex, drugs, alcohol. You know why we make sex a refuge? Because we want somebody's arms around us, because it goes back to mom and dad not loving us, not nurturing us, not hugging us, not kissing us. You know, my parents had so much, they were just normal people. They weren't perfect people. But one thing I can say, I never felt unloved a day in my life. Even when I was rejected, I always felt loved. And it seems like when you have the love of a parent, it gives you the strength to stand. Some of you, and that's not to criticize you because you didn't have the right kind of parent, but hey, God wants to correct it. Because we weren't properly disciplined, now we come to Christ and we have to receive His discipline. And His discipline means that our flesh has to be crucified. You go out to eat and He says one tortilla when you want the whole. When I go to a Mexican restaurant, I think I'd love to have 12 tortillas with butter. God said you can have one. My flesh suffers. But you know what? That's walking in the Spirit to obey God. Okay? It says, For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High our dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, even the young lion and the serpent. You'll trample down because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. His commandment in the New Testament, you know, we're not saved because we obey. We obey because we are saved. And if you're not walking in obedience, you need to check out your salvation. Are not striving to walk in obedience. Okay, so let's just see some things about fear. It says, if you're in the Lord's refuge, no evil will befall you, nor no plague will come near your dwelling. You say, well, I have a plague in my dwelling. Well, there's some place you haven't made God a refuge. I have a few little things in my life. These glasses are one. This is a curse. It's not a blessing. Deuteronomy 28 says blindness, and I'm not blind, thank God, is a curse. But I'm looking for the cause of the curse. I'm breaking generational curses. One of the causes of glaucoma, which runs in my family, cataracts, glaucoma. I thank God I can see 20/20 with these glasses. I can see. I thank God for that. I don't have eye disease, but let me tell you, eye disease runs in my family. And one of the roots to glaucoma is pride. Psalm 73 says their eyes bulge with fatness. You know, glaucoma is when their pressure gets on your eyes. And so there's a lot of pride in my family. Moses was the meekest man that lived upon the earth, the Bible said. And at 100, was it 120, that his eye was not dim, nor was his vigor abated. Macular generation of the eyes. My mother had that. And one of the scriptures God showed me is Matthew 6, where it says, if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. You see, the darkness means adulterated. If your eye is clear, it means you have dove's eyes only for God. And so there's a spirit of darkness that can work in us, falling after our own light. And I'm still looking for roots to this. It's no use throwing my glasses away, though, because when I get healed, I won't need them. Amen? Okay, so there's a root to things. I want us to see things about, some things about, what time is it? What time do we quit? Okay. All right, go to Leviticus. I want you to see some things about fear. I want you to see the first thing, that fear is a curse. It's not a blessing. Leviticus 26, verse 14 says, but if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances as to not carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant, and today we break his covenant through not walking in love. In the Old Testament, they had to keep the letter of the law. In the New Testament, we have to walk in love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not rude. Love doesn't seek its own thing. Love doesn't act unbecomingly. Love does not take into an account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in wrong. Love never fails. And so we've got a long way to go. And when I want to be mad at you or hold unforgiveness toward you, guess what? My flesh has to die. God says, don't let the sun go down on your anger because you give a foothold to the enemy. Somebody needs to hear this. If you've got a problem with a murder spirit or you've got a problem with anger, do not let the sun go down at night unless you get that right. I appreciated what the brother said about holding unforgiveness last night and what Dr. Null said. When you don't forgive, you're turned over to the torturers. Guess who they are? Demons that inflict pain. It's the pain of disease. It means inquisitor. Inquisitor is a jailer that stretches someone out on a rack and he tortures him till he gets what he wants. It means the pain of disease. So we have to forgive. So it says, if we break God's covenant, Hebrews 9 says a covenant is only valid when men are dead. That doesn't mean God wants you to go commit suicide. It just means that the covenant is only valid when you're dead to your flesh. It says, I in turn will do this to you. I'll appoint over you a sudden terror. Consumption is sickness, a wasting lung disease, and fever that shall waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies shall eat it up. And I'll set my face against you so that you shall be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when no one is pursuing you. You're just running and nobody's even after you. That's an you know, we can laugh about that, but there's people that are running and nobody's even chasing them. It's a terrible, you know what? And if you've overcome that, praise God. Thank God. It's God's grace that we've overcome. It says, but you all will overcome if you'll keep on repenting and keep on submitting yourself to God. If after these things that you do not obey me, I'll punish you 7 times more for your sins, and I'll break down the pride of your power. And you know what pride is? It's just judging my whole life by how I feel and what I think. Doesn't matter what I think, what you think. It matters what God thinks, according to His Word. Verse 36, as for those of you who may be left, I will also bring weakness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. There's weakness. It kind of sounds like if your heart has a weakness, is there a medical description for a weak heart, Dr. Mel? Like, I'll bring weakness into your heart. What would that be characteristic of? Heart failure. Men will fail them because of fear. You see that? Bring weakness into the hearts in the lands of their enemies. And you know what? That's going to be the number one killer of people in these last days. In fact, I believe heart problems is the number one killer of people. And you know what? If you have a heart problem, what I suggest you do is pull up 800, there's 800 scriptures, over 800 scriptures on the heart, and repent over every one of them. Bad heart, hard heart trained in greed. And you want your heart healed, repent over the heart scriptures. I've discovered that whatever my physical problem is, there's some place in the Word that tells me why I've got it. And if I line up with the Word, healing comes. And don't give up. Just keep on and keep on pursuing God until you have the victory. Don't ever give up. That's one thing I appreciate about Glenn. I mean, he is an overcomer. I'm serious. He is a perseverer. Amen? And he's an example of persevering and enduring. And you know what? You don't persevere and endure outside of God's refuge. You've got to stay in God's refuge. I was listening to him worship God a while ago. I can tell he does that in his private time. Something's wrong with us if we can worship God in public, but in our prayer time and our times alone with God, we can't worship Him. We can't praise Him. If you don't do it in your prayer closet, it's a show when you come to church. You need to do it at home so that it is real. And I could tell that was real. Amen. Okay, he says, they will therefore stumble over each other as if running from the sword, although no one is pursuing them, and you'll have no strength to stand up before your enemies. But you will perish among the nations, and your enemy's land will consume you. I get consumed out here because I'm on the enemy's land. I'm on the enemy's territory. Okay, go to Deuteronomy 28, please. If you're overcome with fear and you think demons are getting all over you, read all of Deuteronomy 28 and circle the ones that apply to you and ask God to show you the cause of the curse. Proverbs, our brother last night quoted Proverbs 26:2 that says, a curse without a cause cannot light. So if something's getting you, there's a cause for the curse. And he lists 50-some-odd scriptures here that tells you what some of the curses. There's many. He named a whole bunch last night, and then there's a whole bunch in Deuteronomy, and he asked you to read the book of Deuteronomy last night. Read that book and repent over it. You want a huge deliverance, just repent over the word when you're reading it, and you'll get delivered just like that. When I read the Word and I repent over the Word, within 10 minutes, my nose is running, I'm yawning, water's running out of my eyes, and I'm blowing my nose. That's what it means to be washed with water in the Word. If you're not in the Word, let me tell you, get in the Word of God, because that's going to be the greatest healing of your mind. It's going to be the greatest deliverance you can ever have, and repent over it. Whether you think you're guilty or not, break generational curses. I'll read a whole chapter, and then I'll just repent, and I'll say, Lord, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, I break curses that's come into me. See, if you've got all this distress in your life, God is just wanting to line you up with the Word. It's not bad. It's good news that God loves you. Do you know what we read in Isaiah? That if you don't get pruned and hoed, hey, it's judgment. He's trying to prune you and hoe you because He wants you to produce much fruit. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and the statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come on you and overtake you. Okay, and I want you to look in verse 50, 66. It says, well, let's go back to 65. That's good. It says, among those nations you shall find no rest. See, the only rest is on the potter's wheel, or being on God's refuge, or taking God's yoke upon you, he said, and learn from me, for you'll be, he's gentle and humble, and you'll find rest for your soul. You see why it's a curse to have no rest? Because you don't have the yoke of Jesus on. And fear is the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke. It says, failing eyes, trembling heart, and if you've got a problem where you tremble, do a word study on tremble. I'm telling you, there's a lot of scriptures that says there's judgment. A spirit of trembling comes on because of judgment. A spirit of distress comes on because of judgment and calamity and upheaval. It says in Psalms 1 that that if we listen to Him, that we will sleep securely, untouched by evil. If we listen to the Lord, we'll have sweet sleep. Okay, verse 66. So your life will hang in doubt before you, and you'll be in dread night and day and have no assurance of your life. In the morning, that means you'll be startled with fear. It means to tremble. It means fear in general. You'll be in dread night and day and have no assurance of your life. And in the morning, you'll say, oh, I wish it were evening. And at evening time, you'll say, oh, I wish it were morning, because of the dread of your heart, which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes, for which you see. And the Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships by a way which you did not know. And you'll try to sell yourself to somebody as a male and female slave, and nobody will even want you. And you see, that's a curse. Okay, the next thing to see about fear, it's the fruit of idolatry. Go to 32. Whatever you fear is an idol. And idols come in when, as little children, you turn to something besides God. In your pain, in your distress, in your feelings of not being loved, of feeling rejected, frustrated, fearful, not cared for, not loved, not nurtured, you didn't know you could go to God because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. So I'm saying, well, I can't go to God because I haven't been trained up in the way I should go. The only way I cope with it is I turn to a vow, a promise that when I get out of here, it's going to be different. Can I tell you that judgment sets in motion forces that cause you to reap in kind what you judged? And what you're going through right now is a rerun of what you didn't deal with right as a child. And so God lets you have the pain of your present circumstances to show you what you didn't deal with when you were a child. And so fear is idolatry. And that's the same place anger comes in, letting the sun go down on your anger, not honoring your mother and father. Now, honor doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't mean you have to pattern your life after them. But it means you forgive them by sundown. Honor means to forgive. And every place you honor mother and father, life will go well for you. And every place you don't honor mother and father, life will not go well. And now you're going through it up here. So I'm learning to say, okay, Lord, where did I not honor my mother and father? Take it right back to the root source of it. And God will deliver you. So many times we think it's the person we live with. No, it's something God is trying to put a finger on in you. And removing your circumstances, if God took away all your negative circumstances, you wouldn't have nothing to overcome. Right? You wouldn't be an overcomer. I've learned more through my suffering than I've ever learned through blessings. And I've had so many blessings, if I never got another blessing. God has been so good to me, I cannot even tell you how good He's been. Never anything in my life has He not blessed me. But if I never had another blessing, I can tell you, God's given me more than my share. But if we want Him to bless us, we're going to have to be blessable. And I'm not saying it because I'm blessable, because, I mean, I have worked on that. But what I'm saying is, God's just been good. Okay? So it's the fruit of idolatry. The verse 15. But Jezreel grew fat. Jezreel means Israel, another word for Israel, the people of God, the upright one, grew fat. Means to not be overweight. It means that his heart got hard, callous, so that he couldn't hear God. It means to produce from the flesh. And Jezreel grew fat and kicked. You've grown fat, thick, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. They made him, God, jealous with strange gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. They sacrificed the demons who were not God to gods whom they've not known. And put Revelation 9:20 there that says, when you worship idols, you worship demons. You say, well, I don't worship Buddha. Well, you know what your big idol is? Mine. You've got to love me. You've got to accept me. You've got to meet my needs. You've got to listen to me. You've got to hear what I say. You can't ignore me. You can't reject me. You've got to value me. You've got to treat me in a... you've got to heal my hurts. You've got to heal my unmet needs. You've got to fix my unmet needs. You've got to resolve my conflicts. And I look to some human being to make me happy when only God can make me happy. See what I'm saying? It's idolatry. I'm looking to something else. And so the body of Christ, we've got many, many idols. Verse 20, then God said, I'll hide my face from them. I'll see what their end shall be, for they're a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They've made me jealous with what is not God. They've provoked me to anger with their idols. So here's what he does. Number one, I'll make them jealous. You see, jealous is a fruit of idolatry. He says, and then I'm going to provoke them to anger. You see, anger is a fruit of idolatry. Verse 23, I'm going to heap misfortunes on them. I will use my arrows on them. Job 6:4, Job said, the arrows of the Almighty are within me. He never said the devil's getting me. When God let the devil touch him, he never blamed the devil, not one time. He said, he's loosed his bowstrings on me. Speaking of God, he's let his troops run on me. He's used his arrows on me. They shall be wasted by famine. Consumed by plague, there you see sickness, is a fruit of idolatry. Bitter destruction, the teeth of beasts I'll send upon them with the venom of crawling things, of the dust outside the sword shall bereave, and inside terror. Terror is a stronger word than fear, right? And that word in the Hebrew means the idol is the boogie bear. That's exactly what it says. When I first read that, I thought the idol is the boogie bear. And then I got it. If you think you have to get rid of it, you're sitting there thinking, hope she's not going to say, I have to get rid of that. Right? The idol scares you to death when you think you're going to have to get rid of it. The idol's a boogie bear. So you see that terror is the fruit of idolatry. Okay, it's the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke. Go to Romans, please, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. If you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So how do I let God lead me? By staying submitted to Him. By keeping His yoke on my neck. By staying on the potter's wheel. You fall off, get back on. You fall off, get back on. Because the potter is going to finish the work if you stay on the potter's wheel. Verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now He's given an alternative yoke. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So you see, you either wear the yoke of Jesus through submitting to Him, staying in His secret place, or here you get the yoke of Jesus, here you get another yoke. It's a yoke of slavery. It causes your life to be dominated by fear. Instead of being led by the Spirit of God, you're saying, yes, fear, yes, fear, yes, fear. You're bound down to a demon of fear. And it's the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke. It's the fruit of an imperfect love. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. It says fear has torment. Why does it have torment? Because fear has torment because I know I deserve to get punished. You see, if I'm living in fear, what am I fearing? What I fear comes upon me, so I have to overcome that fear. Go to 1 John 4, verse 17. Verse 15. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. That word confesses doesn't mean that you would say, yes, I believe in Jesus. It means the confession of sin implying the change of direction. It means repentance. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him. For me to abide in Christ is to, he's the potter and I'm the clay, and for me to abide in Christ I have to choose his way over my way, his attitudes over my attitudes, his desire over my desire, his word over my word. I have to choose to obey. And whoever confesses through obedience and repentance, change of direction, abides in him, is what the word says. And we've come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this abiding, submitting, surrender, love is perfected with us that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Okay, so when I am in fear, there means I'm out here and I'm not trusting God perfectly in an area. The perfect love of trusting and giving my life up to him in that area of fear casts out fear. Perfect love. When I can yield to God in every area, I'm saying, Lord, I trust you so much with my life that you know what I need, when I need it, if I need it, when to get it, and when to give it to me. I'm saying, Lord, I trust that you love me. I trust that you're going to protect me. And it drives out fear. Okay, the next thing you need to see about fear, go to Matthew. Fear causes you to bury your talent. Matthew 25:5. You know the story of the man who went on the journey. He gave one of his servants, he gave five talents. He gave another 2 talents, and he gave another 1. The one that had 5 talents gave him 5 more for 10. The one with 2 gave him 2 more for 4. The one who had 1 said, Lord, I give him the 1 back. And look in verse 24. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what's yours. And his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. That word lazy in the Greek means sluggish, slothful, backward, to shrink from doing. He says, you wicked slave, and that word wicked means also degenerates from the original virtue. That's what that means in Greek. You wicked slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But the one who does not have, even what he does not have, shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, Master, I saw you as a harsh, stiff, stern man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. You see, that comes in through a demonic fear of God. God, I saw you as harsh, stiff, and stern, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. You know where that comes in? When you were afraid of your mom and dad. That comes in through childhood being fearful. There's a fear of the Lord. The true fear of the Lord will drive me to the Lord, will cause me to repent of my sin and run to God. But a demonic fear of God will cause me to run away from God. And when I want to run away from God, that comes in through being afraid of Daddy and through being afraid of Mama. And see, so God, I saw you as harsh, stiff, and stern. I saw you like my dad and mom, God. So you see, you have to deal with your mom and dad issues, because God wants us to have a true fear of him. Okay, the next thing you need to see, so fear causes you to bury your talent. Keeps you from producing fruit. Keeps you from yielding to the potter who does do the work. A potter, he turns the potter's wheel, he fashions the clay, he molds it, he shapes it, he beats the bubbles out. The clay just does one thing. I surrender to the potter. Okay, the next thing you need to see about fear is in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the fear of death, and might deliver those who through the fear of death were subject to slavery all their life. You see, unless I abide in Christ, there's never any fruit until I get here. In some parts of the world, they capture little monkeys by putting a banana in a cage, and he sticks his little skinny hand in there, and he grabs the banana, and his greed for the banana causes him to get caught. All he has to do is let go of his idol and he's free. Amen? So fear of death, fear of dying to my flesh, fear of giving up my idol, subjects me to slavery my whole life. I could just use the caffeine for me right here. That's not the only thing I've been addicted to. I'm still praying God does a work in my life with my weight, and he's going to one of these days. My sister can eat 7 donuts a day and not gain weight and just cut out her donuts and lose, and I eat one donut a year and feel guilty about it. Anyway, one of these days I'm going to overcome. I'm going to work on it till I go off into eternity. Amen? Because there's a root to it. There's a spiritual root. It's idolatry. But the Bible says the good I want to do, I don't do because of the sin. My heart wants to do good, but the sin in my members. So I'm saying, okay, God, where's all this sin in my members? I need to get out. Amen? Okay, so fear of death subjects me to slavery my whole life. So let's talk about some things before we pray, some things that make you afraid. And let's try to get to the idol behind it. Who wants to be first? Okay? What are you afraid of, honey? Afraid of demons? Okay. Well, God's in charge of them. You know, it says he created the smith to blow the coals. Everything was created by him and for him, and there wasn't anything that was made that was made. So the idols is I can't have demons. And so you need to get under God's refuge to get rid of them. Amen? Because when you get here, they'll back off. Last night you got a lot of freedom, but see, you'll get more and more and more and more. And they'll get less and less and less. Uh-huh. Go through those scriptures and look what all the curses are and ask God to show you what you need to repent of to get rid of that curse. Okay? Uh-huh. Right. Okay, so what else? Something you're afraid of. Okay, see, a fear of failure, a fear of success could have had to do with perfectionistic kind of parents. See, her parents were perfectionistic. She's loved based on her performance. So then she keeps striving to do good, to perform. So she'll be loved. You see, and God says, you know, a person that is performance-oriented, he tries to turn the potter's wheel himself. God just wants you to give up. Hey, you're not perfect. You might as well just admit it. I'm not either. My friend Jack Taylor said, you don't have an inferiority complex. You are just inferior. You might as well admit it. There's no complex to it. But he's not. Amen? Okay, something else. Fear of provision. See, that goes back to not being provided for as a kid. Right? I mean, you maybe perceived your parents as poor. You wanted more than you could, more than you got. Or maybe they weren't poor, but you felt like you needed more money to do whatever. And so you made a vow, when I grow up, I'm going to have plenty of provision. And so that became a god. And see, God will never let you have he won't let you have your idols. It's just nothing but failure. And that's where a wounded spirit comes in. When you turn to the idol, it caused a wound. And that's why you get your button pushed in these areas. Okay, somebody else. Fear of being alone. Were you alone as a child? Huh? You were alone? You had people with you? Well, where do you think that's coming from? Fear of being alone. The idol is I can't be alone. Did something happen to you when you were alone when you were a kid? Did something traumatic happen to you? Oh, your husband's your maker. Paul said you'd be happier if you stay single. I mean, but he also says marriage is honorable, you know. But your husband, guys, your husband is your maker. And he's faithful. Dr. Noel said he'd been single 25 years. You found God to be your husband, huh? Faithful. Me too. Me too. Okay, something else. You see, all of your fear and your anger and your depression is rooted in childhood. Whatever you fear was the promise you made yourself that it better not happen when you grow up. You see what I'm saying? And so your whole life you've been striving for somebody to love you, somebody to accept you, been striving to be prosperous. And God says that if we weary ourselves to gain wealth, it just gets wings and flies off. Have you ever noticed that? Let me see if I can just collect this. Let me see if I can just get this and get a little bit ahead. Next thing you know, the air conditioner breaks. Wings, it flies off. I've done it, I know. I used to think, boy, if I could just get ahead here and my husband go buy a whole air conditioner unit, I'd say, we don't need that. But we'd have a new air conditioner. Okay, so what you fear is the idol. And the idol came in childhood when you let the sun go down on it and you turned to the vow instead of turning to God. You understand that? So stand up and let's ask God to show you. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to shine your light into all the darkness. I ask you, Lord, to show every person where they're not abiding in you. Lord, I cry out for the truth that sets me free. Help, Lord. And you have to lay the idol down. And before you do that, let me show you how I've learned to deal with fear. Lord, do you hear what the devil's telling me? I mean, he wants to scare you to death. You hear that, Lord? Lord, if it'll bring you greater honor and glory for that to happen, then let it happen. But Satan, you can't touch me in Jesus' name. How dare you think you can touch anybody in the hands of the potter? You see that? That's the perfect love that casts out fear. And I can tell you, God has delivered me from fear. I live up in the woods, a half mile from the house. Only have shades in my bedroom. I live totally in the woods where somebody can get me. But I can tell you, when I came home from Lake Hamilton after Norman preached on angels, I mean, I actually knew there were angels in the woods. It was like I saw their eyes. Just everywhere was angels. And understanding and discretion. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, just make an altar like Abraham did Isaac. Take your Isaacs up the mountain. Put a knife to them. Lord, let me know the truth that sets me free. What am I afraid of, Lord? Through making an altar and taking all those things to God, then sit down and then we'll do mass deliverance. Lord, forgive me. I've been an idolater. Lord, as a little child, I didn't know I could go to you. And so in my frustration and my pain and trauma and all my negative feelings of not being taken care of and loved and protected, God, I turned to a false God. That when I grow up, life's going to be different. And Lord, I set in motion forces that have caused me to reap in kind what I've judged. And Lord, I just ask you to forgive me. Lord, forgive me that I've been full of anxiety because of my sin. Forgive me for my sin that you've shown me. And I ask you to show me all my sin and deliver me till it's all gone. God, forgive me. I've had anxiety in my heart and my heart's been weighed down. Lord, forgive me for violence and idolatry that would cause me to eat bread with anxiety and drink water in horror, and me to be stripped of my fullness because of the violence and the wrong that I've done and my forefathers have done. Lord, forgive me for not making you my refuge. Forgive me for being anxious for everything. And forgive me for worry, fear, anxiety, and stress. Lord, forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments. Forgive me for hate and murder, wanting to kill others, wanting to kill myself, wanting to do violence. Forgive me for breaking your covenant, which would cause the sound of a driven leaf to make me run when no one is chasing me. Lord, that would cause me to run when nobody is chasing me and stumble over each other and fall and trying to run. Lord, forgive me for disobedience to your voice that would cause me to be in dread night and day and dread for the things that I see. And in the morning say, oh, I wish it were evening. And in the evening say, oh, I wish it were morning because of the dread of my heart. Lord, forgive me for not letting your spirit lead me and wanting to control my life. Forgive me for holding on to my life. I've been losing it. Lord, I've been afraid to let go because I couldn't trust my mom and dad. And Lord, I let go of my life now. And I totally surrender to you. I give up my will to your will. And Lord, you hear what the devil's been telling me? Lord, if it would bring you greater glory and honor for these horrible things to happen, then let them happen. But Satan, you can't touch me because I put myself in the hands of the potter. I forgive my mom and dad for not protecting me, for not watching over me, for letting me be hurt in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive me for seeing you as harsh, stiff, and stern. And I forgive my dad and mom for being harsh, stiff, and stern. And Lord, would you please forgive me I've been like that little monkey with his hand in the cage, holding on to my idol, and I've been trapped by my idol. Forgive me for having a fear of death that has subjected me to slavery all of my life. Lord, I now choose, by an act of my will, to give up my life that I may find it. And I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Okay, look up here. If your mother and father did not cover you, and they were not under God's refuge, most of us were just born out here. See, day one, generationally, you were just born out here from generation. So, Lord, I forgive my forefathers and my mother and father for witchcraft, Satanism, voodoo, Masons, black magic, all the works of darkness, all the works of Satan. I renounce Satan. I break generational curses. I break covenants of death that I and my forefathers made, giving me to Satan and to any false god. I break all covenants. I break the power of every word, word of death, word of iniquity that was spoken over me or my forefathers, or that my forefathers or I spoke, making covenants to the devil. I break those covenants of death. I break vows I'm going to die. I break vows I'm going to kill somebody in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I renounce all the rituals that's coming down generationally that would cause me to be born with fear and terror. And I forgive my parents for not walking in covenant with you. And Lord, I forgive them that I was just born outside of your refuge. Now, Lord, by an act of my will, I say to you, I make you my refuge. I make you my dwelling place. And Lord, will you loose ministering angels to go get me out of all of those dwelling places where I've sinned. God, come get me out of here in Jesus' name. We loose angels to rescue them in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, I take accountability for the generational idolatry, generational breakdowns, generational lack of loving you, of forefathers that were not in your refuge, of fear and terror and dread, worry, anxiety, stress, of forefathers that did not produce good fruit. And I haven't produced good fruit. Lord, would you put the hedge back? And Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away all the effects and the ground that Satan has had in my life through fear, anxiety, stress, distress, worry. In Jesus' name, I break generational curses, Sotai curses, cultural curses of everything I've confessed in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I cast all my care on you because you're not like my mom and dad. I cast all my care on you because you love me. All my anxieties I cast upon you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. I speak to the spirit of fear. I say, move. I speak to the spirit of terror. I say, move. I speak to distress. Move. I speak to anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. I say, move. I speak to terror and dread. Move. I speak to a spirit of running. I say, move. I command every demon power to leave that came in through everything we've confessed. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, it says in Psalms 94:19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations are my delight. This is where you're going to find peace and rest. Get in the Word. You know what? If you don't stay in the Word and you don't have your prayer time every day, you just get to where you start believing all these voices. You need to get in God's Word. He gives you perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon Him. Amen. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Now, how many had freedom a while ago? Put your hands up and sing with me. You felt freedom. Let's sing. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of a lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of a lamb. Praise you, Lord. Can we pray for the food? Lord, we thank you that we live in America. We thank you for plentiful food. We thank you for hands that prepared the food. We thank you for money to buy the food. God, we are so blessed. We just ask you to bless the food, purify it, sanctify it, bless the hands that made it. And, Lord, I pray that during the lunchtime we'll not overeat or sin with our mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.